And it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for tuning in, whether that be live here at Joy 620 or you're listening via podcast. You can find that at investinghope.com. You can find it on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, all the places where podcasts are found. You can listen to the show. So we are grateful for that. You can learn more, of course, about Hope Resource Center at investinghope.com. And just excited to be here once again. A lot of things happening in the news around the country. We'll dabble in some of that today, but we're not going to go too far in it, but we're going to dabble in a little bit of that today. And then also some big news on the pro-life front with the amendment, Amendment 1, which I'll give some background of what that means. Some of you listening are saying, what's Amendment 1? But it was a big deal back in 2014. It's been kind of in the courts for a while, and then some news came down this week that pro-lifers are happy about. Also, I want to talk about parenting classes. We are entering into parenting, our last session of parenting classes at Hope Resource Center for the year, and just pumped about what that looks like. And so we'll get into that in a little bit as well. So first, I want to say, again, I told you I was going to dabble in a little bit of the news of the day. And I think the only reason I'm going to is because I just need to vent. It's on every channel. It's all the time. It's all over Twitter. It's all over all of my social media feeds, except for Facebook, because they have done something to their algorithm and their feed is terrible. So Mark Zuckerberg, I know you're listening. Do something about the timeline on Facebook, because it is absolutely atrocious. But other than that, what's going on in our country currently? I'm not even going to take a side. I'm sure some of you know which side I may fall on. But what we are seeing is the political environment, and not just political, it's politics has made its way into everything. It's in our churches, it's in our sports, it's on ESPN, it's on DIY, it's on all the channels, everywhere somebody's got something to say about politics. You know, Kanye West on Saturday Night Live giving a speech, and then the Kavanaugh monologue at the beginning with Matt Damon. Everybody has an opinion, everybody's saying something about it. And then today with the news, if you're listening to this live, it's Tuesday, and we find out that some letters were sent to the Pentagon, to General Mathis, and they think they found ricin in the envelopes. And so they had to do an evacuation. And then some letters were sent to Ted Cruz's campaign office in Houston with a white substance. And so they evacuated. They took people to the hospital. And I think with the one in Houston, it was a false alarm, and somebody sent a prank letter, which happens every now and then. But we have reached a point in society where we don't look at each other as image bearers of our God. We look at each other as, you represent something I agree with or something I disagree with. That's where we are as a society. So even when it comes to the current Supreme Court hearings, you either represent somebody I agree with or somebody I don't agree with. You're either for the alleged victim or you're for the alleged abuser. You can't somehow go, I believe her, I believe him, what do we need to do? But that's where we are currently in society. We're in society now where Kanye goes off, and some of you are listening and saying, who is Kanye? Who is this Conway you talk about? It's Kanye. Google him, and you can learn more about him. But we live in a place where a hip-hop artist, a rapper, may say something positive about the current president, and someone on CNN actually says, I'm concerned for his well-being and his health. When if celebrities and other artists come out in favor of, say, the last president, no one said they were concerned about their well-being or health. But that's how polarizing everything is today. And all I'm saying, I'm... for someone that is still struggling in all of this, but I was deeply and heavily involved in that world for a time, all I'm saying is be careful. be careful. It's easy to let it absorb your life. It's easy to let it take over everything. I was even watching TV last night, and a political campaign ad came on, and I won't say who it was for. And my daughter, who is 5 and in kindergarten and is a sweet little angel, started saying, "That's not true. That's not true. That's not true." So in essence, she was saying fake news. And so I immediately thought, I have to be quiet. I'm causing this in my home, even with my children who don't know ultimately what's going on in the political world, but they hear dad talk about it. And so they want to engage as well. So all I'm saying is be careful. Don't let yourself get to a place where you see people as simply representing a political side or a stance or a certain side of an issue. It doesn't even have to be political anymore. We just say, you represent this and I don't like this, and so therefore I don't like you. Or you represent this and I like that, so therefore I must like you. Or today, you represent this and I don't like you, but tomorrow you say something different and boom, you're on our team now. This tribal mindset that we have found ourselves in is really an interesting place to be. And I get it. There are things that we need to be upset about. There are things that we need to rise up and talk about and engage in these conversations. And frankly, at times, they may get a little aggressive. And we need to fight for truth, and we need to do all of those things. But we also need to be seekers of truth. Seems like every day someone is sending me another article that is fake. And it's quickly seen that it's fake. But people are believing as if it's the gospel, and it's not. And people on both sides do that. And so are we willing to be honest and have this dialogue? Are we finding ourselves in a place where we say, well, yeah, the people that agree with me bear the image of our God, but the people that disagree with me, they're just terrible people. The good Lord wouldn't have created them. Well, that's silliness. That's not the gospel. That's not the truth. And some people may be listening to this and going, well, I don't care what your gospel is. This isn't about the gospel. This is about America. This is about a fight for freedom. This is about a fight for the Constitution. And maybe in some cases that is correct. But there's ways of having that conversation. I'm not telling you to lay down. I'm not telling you to water down the truth. I'm telling you to just do it the right way. Have the conversation the right way. At times, be willing to actually say, okay, I kind of see where you're coming from. I disagree with you, but I see where you're coming from. Wouldn't you want that? Wouldn't you want somebody to do that for you? To see where you're coming from, what your experiences are? And I'm not saying your truth and their truth and all that. I'm saying experiences. They do matter, and they make differences in our lives. So when we look across the current culture and we see the craziness that's going on, and the anger and the animosity and the breakdown of truth and so much fake out there, how are we as Christians to navigate that and walk through that? And how are we as pro-lifers, as people that are adamantly pro-life? And here in a second, I'm going to talk about an amendment. So I'm going to talk about something that was codified in law, that then was taken to the courts, that ultimately the Supreme Court said, we're not even going to hear it. And that's a win. That's a victory for pro-lifers. But as pro-lifers, how are we supposed to engage in that? Because if you listen to this show any amount of time, you know I'm deeply passionate about the pro-life work that we do. I mean, I go to the March for Life in Washington. I was at the Supreme Court the day of the hearing of the NIFLA case. I participated in the rally. I spoke at the rally. I write. I speak about it every single week. So I'm not telling you to lay down. I'm not telling you to not engage. We certainly need to do that. But there are ways that we do that. There are ways for us to do that. And we're not going to be perfect every time. And there are going to be certain issues that bring out and and rile us up and get us to a place that's unhealthy. But do we recognize those moments? Are we surrounding ourselves with people that can call us out? My wife is really good at calling me out. Last night, sitting on the couch, a political commercial came on, and my wife looked at me and said, I do not need to hear your political opinions right now because of this commercial. Because I have a lot of opinions, and I like to give them. But I know when I'm pushing too much, when I'm saying too much. And I also know those moments when my wife will look at me and say, yeah, now's the time you need to speak up. Now's the time you need to say something. So are we prepared to do that? Are we prepared to recognize those things in our lives? It's not just politics. It seems like today everything has gone political. Everybody's got an opinion. But again, there's ways of going about that. This Supreme Court pick is a big deal for a lot of people on both sides. But how long will it take for that pick to truly affect your everyday life? Now, I get it. I'm politically involved, so I get it. You're saying, well, what affects the direction of the country? It affects this law. It affects Roe v. Wade. It affects all of these things. Yes. But just think personally, how long will it take for that to affect your everyday life? Probably quite a while. And so are we giving it its proper context? Are we giving it its proper line in our priority list? That's all I'm saying. And so throughout this time, there's so many things that I've wanted to say and do. But we're currently going through a sermon series at church called Why Are We Yelling? And the point of it is, are we taking advantage of some of these moments? Do we all feel like an expert and like we have to say something about everything? Or are we willing to look at certain things and go, okay, maybe it's best I not speak here? But also be willing as Christians and say, no, right here is when I need to stand up boldly, unapologetically, stand up for what is right. And there's going to be those moments. Maybe for some of you, this is the moment. And that's okay. But when we stand up, when we boldly stand up, unapologetically, we need to look around us and recognize that everyone around us bears the image of our Creator. Because that's going to determine how we engage, how we interact, and how we go about our business as Christians. We'll be back. They say wash in the river of Jordan, wipe away your sins like I've done mine. And the people, then they'll be equals. There's too many sinkholes we've left behind. Okay, so as we shift gears just a little bit, we're going to look at Yes on One. If you've been active in pro-life work, you were familiar with Yes on One back in 2013. Ultimately, its passage in 2014. But to give you a quick background, Yes on One is a community-based outreach formed in 2013 to raise awareness of the need for passage of Amendment 1. Ultimately what that did is, because of a radical 4-1 ruling by the Tennessee Supreme Court in the year 2000, Tennessee boasted a broader right to abortion than that recognized by Roe v. Wade or the U.S. Constitution. Basic common sense protections previously passed by the Tennessee General Assembly to protect the health and safety of women and girls considering abortion were struck down in 2000 as violating the newly discovered right to abortion within the Tennessee Constitution. As a result, abortion activists came out and they wanted to keep pushing. Because each of Tennessee's 8 border states enforce active policies requiring informed consent, waiting periods, and regulation of abortion facilities by State Department of Health, Tennessee quickly became a destination for women, girls, spouses, partners, and parents seeking abortions. Following the 2000 state Supreme Court decision in Planned Parenthood versus Sundquist, the primary goal of pro-life Tennesseans became the overturn of the wrong court ruling. This was accomplished by the passage of Amendment 1 on November 4th, 2014. So that's the background. That's where we were. And then what we saw over the last 3 or 4 years is a abortion activist coming out and keep pushing this to the courts. And so ultimately they tried to get it to the U.S. Supreme Court, and then we found out yesterday that didn't happen. So for most of Tennessee voters, Pro-Life Amendment 1 was decided on November 4th, 2014, when it was approved 53-47%. But several days later, abortion activists filed a legal challenge in federal court contesting the manner in which the state tabulated the votes and claiming discrimination against abortion supporters. And then Friday, back in July, for most Tennessee, we found out that this was being pushed and trying to get to the Supreme Court. In April 2016, former U.S. District Court Judge Kevin Sharp agreed with the abortion activist and demanded a recount of the votes. In his ruling, former Judge Sharp threatened to throw out the votes of those Tennesseans casting a vote on the amendment but not having also voted in the 2014 governor's race. Appealed by the Tennessee Attorney General, the case ultimately made its way to the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, which heard oral arguments in August of 2017. Tennessee Right to Life and Yes on One coordinated a friend of the court brief containing the signatures of 8,850 Tennesseans urging the court to uphold their votes on the amendment. A three-judge panel of the Sixth Circuit issued its unanimous ruling on January 9, 2018 in support of the vote counting. Vote count saying, it is time for uncertainty surrounding the people's 2014 approval and ratification of Amendment 1 to be put to rest. Abortion activists immediately sought a rehearing of the case before the full Sixth Circuit, which rejected the request. Now Tennessee's abortion leaders are asking the U.S. Supreme Court to take up their challenge of the people's pro-life vote on Amendment 1. And then what we found out on October 1st is the U.S. Supreme Court denies requests to overturn Pro-Life Amendment 1. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals unanimous decision stands. And so that's a big deal. So what that means is the Supreme Court said, yeah, we're not going to hear it. That means the lower court's decision is what's going to stand. And that means Amendment 1 finally is going to be the victory for pro-lifers back in 2014. We're going to see that actually occur. And so what that looks like is for those of you out there wondering, well, why did we go to all that trouble? It was because for a time, Tennessee was a destination state when it comes to receiving abortions. That is not what we wanted the state to be, but because of laws, because of court decisions, that's where we found ourselves. And so, again, this is why it's important to be engaged in that process. That doesn't mean we stop doing the work that we're doing at Hope Resource Center. It just means, look, we need to know what's going on around us. We need to know what's happening legislatively. We need to know how we can get involved, how we can get engaged. And that was one of those things. And the Amendment 1 brought a lot of people together from a lot of different walks of life, Christians, non-Christians, Republicans, Democrats, everybody in between coming together to say, look, our state does not need to be a destination state for abortion. And so we put some laws in place that change that. And then frankly, in doing that, also we need to make it a place where folks that are struggling with unplanned pregnancy or dealing with those things can have places to go. And so that's why we have places like Hope Resource Center all across the state. That's why we have health departments and other organizations and OBs across the state that are stepping in and helping out these moms that are facing unplanned pregnancy. And so it's not a, look, once we get all the laws taken care of, everything's going to work itself out. That is not the mission of Hope. That is not my mission. That's not how we need to operate. We need to look at it and say, the laws are important, but we have a lot of hearts to change. We have a lot of, our neighbors need to hear from us. Because let's be honest, there's still a lot of people in this state, a lot of people in this country that aren't pulling a lever for anybody. They ain't voting. They don't care. They may have opinions, but they're not voting. And so you have a small segment of the population that's engaged in the voting process. And then you have a large segment of the population that don't vote, have a lot of opinions. Those are the hearts that can be transformed. Those are the conversations that need to be had. That's why it's important to have conversations with your neighbor. Don't just assume that everyone surrounding you is Republican or Democrat. Don't just assume that everyone surrounding you is pro-choice or pro-life. Maybe they don't have an opinion. Maybe their opinion is still forming. Maybe some conversations would help with that. And I'm not saying just go door to door and ask people, are you pro-choice? Are you pro-life? Let's talk about that today. That's not going to go well for you. I'm as pro-life as they come. And if some stranger comes to my door and that's their question, I'm going to say, let me have my dinner. Can you please step off my lawn? That would be great. So I'm not telling you to do it in that form. But what we have to do is in our everyday relationships, what kind of conversations are being had? And so we celebrate these victories. I also want you to know that we're winning a lot of these issues. We're winning. It's easy for those of us that have been involved in the pro-life movement for any time. It's easy for us to find ourselves going, man, we seem to be kicked all the time and we're not winning. And I don't really understand that, because if you look at the March for Life in D.C. in January, you have anywhere between 300,000 and 500,000 people showing up from all over the country to tell the world life has value. Even when we look at polls, the majority of the country, they may not label themselves pro-life, but they would say, yeah, I think some restrictions should be placed on abortion. I think people should adopt more. I think people should foster more. I think moms should be helped. I think there needs to be things in place to help these young women when they choose life. Yes, to all of that. The vast majority of the populace agree with that. And so we don't need to walk around just angry all the time and bitter. And so we celebrate this victory that the Supreme Court's not going to take up this case, that Amendment 1 is finally, hopefully, going to be put to rest, and we're good to go that way. We've seen more legislation since 2014 to help make sure that Tennessee's not a destination state. But look, folks, again, even if abortion ended tomorrow, we still have a lot of work to do. And so even though we don't want the state of Tennessee to be a destination state for abortions, we still have people here facing unplanned pregnancies. What are we doing? Are you partnering with places like Hope Resource Center? Are you loving on that unwed mother in your church, in your community? Are you coming alongside that foster family in your circle of influence? Are you looking for ways to say, look, I'm not just going to say that I'm pro-life. I'm not going to just say I'm pro-life or I'm for life or I'm for the baby or I'm for the mom. I'm actually going to do something about it. And that's what we try to do at Hope every single day. And that's what we need to be trying to do in our everyday relationships, so that the world not only hears us, but sees us and sees our love for every life. All I see is you, the wonder of everything you say you do. My mind made up, never looking back, my eyes stay up. All I see now is you, you, and everything. So now what I want to do is talk about parenting class. So we've looked at the work of the pro-life movement. You know, just in our short time here today, we've looked at the climate currently in our country with people taking sides and kind of running to their corners, and everybody seems to be at odds with each other. And then we looked at the Amendment 1 issue and how that's a positive win for the pro-life movement. Now I want to point us to kind of the frontline work, that what some people would call grassroots, like actually getting up every day, making a difference in our city. And so I put some thoughts together earlier today, and I just want to share those with you. So this week at Hope, we started our last session of parenting class for the year. Every class is special, but the last one, it always seems a little different. I'm not sure if it's because of the change in the weather or the holiday season quickly approaching, but the year capping class consistently brings a great sense of joy to all of us at Hope. Oftentimes, when people ask about our work, they focus on our medical services and how we are different from other women's health clinics. This makes sense considering the amount of time and effort put into providing the best medical services available to our patients. We want them to be here at Hope. We desire for them to feel safe and secure inside the exam room with our staff. This desire, however, doesn't find its finality in an exam room. We also have a desire for these patients to be great moms. This is where parenting class comes in at Hope. Through these five-week sessions, we are able to serve these patients twice a week in an educational format with our staff and once a week through mentoring. These weekly meetings aren't just seen as random moments to lecture, but instead we see these timely meetings as gospel opportunities to love our neighbor. Our current class is made up of 20 patients from across our city, country, and the world as five different nations are represented. What a sweet truth that our Lord, in his sovereign nature, saw fit to bring these nations to us here in East Tennessee. This is why we do not take this responsibility lightly. We understand the importance of good education for our moms and appreciate their need for resources. We also, however, understand that the road they're on will be a tough one as obstacles continue to litter their path. This is why we saturate everything we do in prayer. We trust that God will move in their lives, and we believe that God will provide for their family. But these truths don't stop us from interceding on their behalf. We at Hope are reminded daily of the brokenness of our world. We have truly seen it all. Yet in this work and in these walls, we are reminded daily of how good our God is. Tonight, we will host 20 moms for class. They will dine together, learn together, and pray together. Each of their stories are different, but yet the same. They will spend the next 5 weeks with our staff and volunteers as they anxiously await the arrival of their baby. These are pivotal weeks for their growth and preparation, and the Lord chose us to partake in this with them. That truth is not lost on me today. They could have went anywhere, but they ended up at Hope. We are thankful for that today, and I am thankful that you helped us make that a reality for so many. So as we look at parenting class, and right now, as I'm talking, if you're listening live to this, that's what's happening at Hope Resource Center. 20 moms, some scared, some nervous, some struggling to speak English, some with a marriage down the road, some married, some single. But they all find themselves in one place together. And so they're not just getting lectured. That's not what we're about at Hope. Sure, we want to teach them. We want them to learn. We want them to be prepared. But it's not just about lecturing and telling them how much we know. But it's having and building relationships. It's people like you that are bringing meals and providing food for them. It's volunteers that are willing to mentor these patients and go through the difficult times with them. Hear about their past, their hurts. Hear about the addiction, the abuse. Hear about their faith or lack thereof. You see, so for us at Hope, we certainly have a stance. We're certainly pro-life, and we don't apologize for that. But for us every day, it's more than just a stance. It's why we get up. It's why we serve. It's why we open our doors. And the beautiful thing about that is back in 97, when we opened the doors of Hope Resource Center across from an abortion clinic, the mission in 1997 is the same today. It's to serve. To care for those that come in our door. And we're able to do that with your help and with your prayers and with your gifts and your volunteering. But the mission hasn't changed. That abortion clinic has come and gone. There are other abortion clinics in our city. But none of that changed the work of Hope Resource Center. We've added services. We've taken away some things. We've expanded and then gotten rid of some things. But the mission always stayed the same, that we're here to serve those that bear the image of our Creator. Not to shame, not to judge, but to point people to a greater truth. So yesterday, when I looked at all the patients in the room and I talked to them about why they're there, what's going to be happening over the next 5 weeks, and I look at them and I say, I want you to know that your identity isn't wrapped up in your past. Your identity isn't wrapped up in your present circumstances either. Your identity is not wrapped up in your addiction or the abuse or the man that you're with or were with. But I'm able to look at them and say, your identity is wrapped up in the one that created you because you bear the image of our Creator. That is what we believe. Now, is everybody in that room Christian? No. Would they all agree with everything that I believe? No. But even in those moments, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change what we're doing at Hope. We're going to serve them anyway. That's what the gospel's about. That's what we've been called to do. That even in those moments where people disappoint or people fail us, our mission doesn't change. And the beautiful thing about this particular class is Scripture tells us that the Great Commission is go and make disciples of all nations. All nations. And because we find ourselves here in East Tennessee, in Knoxville, Tennessee, right down the road from the land-grant institution in the state, right down the road from 25,000-plus students at the University of Tennessee, the Lord brings the nations to us. He brought them to us. So five nations represented inside of Hope in this class. And so that's the... When you think about, well, why do I support Hope? Why do I partner with Hope? Why do I care about what's happening there? What are they doing with this support? This is what we're doing. And then in 5 weeks, you know what we're going to do? We're going to throw 20 baby showers for 21 babies because somebody's having twins. Think about that. And we need your help with that. We need items for those baby showers. That's 21 car seats, 21 pack and plays, diaper bags, diapers, wipes, clothes, strollers. But I got an email from a pastor today, and they're going to help with the bulk of that. And he was just emailing me, telling me that they're excited about the shower in November. You see, that's what it. This is what's pro-life. This is what it means to be pro-life. Yeah, I want you to vote. I want you to buy the license plate. I want you to put the sticker on your car. I want you to tell your friends you're pro-life. I want you to do all of those things. But I also want you to be willing to get in the mess with these patients as well. Loving people's hard, especially when they may fail us, when they may hurt us, when they may make a decision that we don't feel like is the right decision. But Scripture doesn't say, go and make disciples of all nations when they do the things that you want them to do. That's not what we're told to do. Everybody that walks in the door at Hope Resource Center, that's a gospel opportunity. That's a moment to have a conversation with an image bearer. And that's all we need to know. Oh, look, here's another person coming in. They bear the image of our Creator. They deserve our time. They deserve our love. They deserve our value. They deserve our respect. And so we would appreciate your prayers. We'd appreciate your support. But you've made the last 21 years possible. Over 25,000 patients served. Moms loved. Babies loved. Families loved. You have no idea the impact that you've had. And we're grateful to call you a partner in this work. We'll be back. Lord, I see you in every day, all day. And every beat of my heart keeps reminding me. I see you in every little thing, all day. No matter where I go, I know your love is finding me. It's finding me in every day, all day. So as we end another show, I want to point you to some places where you can learn more about the work that we're doing at Hope. InvestingHope.com. You can read the blog there, get the podcast there. Also, sign up for events. We have a lot of things happening in the next couple weeks. So this Friday is the Battle of the Bottles game between Grace and CAK. We'll announce the total money raised at halftime of the game. So Grace and CAK, we've distributed the bottles. They're going to fill those bottles with cash, check, and coins. And then we are going again to tally that up. Well, the bank's going to tally that up, and then we'll announce the total at the game on Friday night at halftime. Monday we have our golf tournament at Gettysview. That's going to be a great day. It's always fun with the Battle of the Bottles. We have raised in 7 years just over $145,000. That's amazing. These students have been a huge help with that. And then in the golf tournament, since 2005-2006, we have raised almost $500,000. Think about that. That's amazing. So hopefully after Monday, we will be at $500,000 raised through the golf tournament over the years. So we're looking forward to that. We still have some spots available, but they are going quick. So if you want to sign up and play golf with us, you can go to investinghope.com, and then you can click on get involved, click on the events tab, and then boom, you can sign up for golf tournament. If you have problems with that, just email me, Andrew@KnoxvilleHope.com. I'd love to see you out there at Gettysview. Breakfast and lunch is provided. We have tons of prizes available for you. Golf clubs, golf bag, shirts, hats, golf balls, tees, tickets to football games, not just here in Knoxville, but in Nashville, all kinds of things for you. So be looking for that. Come and join us for the golf tournament. Win some prizes. Have a good day off from work, and then and stand for life and stand with hope through all of that. So we would love to see you out there on Monday. That's happening. So you can learn more about that at investinghope.com. A couple more things to point you to. We're leading into year end. So many of you are going to be receiving a letter and some mail from me in the next few weeks, starting in late November for the year-end campaign. And so looking forward to share some stories with you, the work of Hope Resource Center and the impact that you've had over the last year and kind of where we're going in the new year. And just God has been so good in that. And God has been good to Hope Resource Center for a long time. Even in the tough times, we know that God is good. And so in those years where things got a little tough, things got a little tight, finances were a little tight, God was still providing for these patients that we see at Hope Resource Center and for these moms and for these babies. And so we are just excited to be a part of that. We're excited about the local church. There's some things, some conversations I've had over the last few days that I'm not going to go into details. Maybe someday I'll be able to share them with you. But please, folks, I know I say this often, but the local church here in Knoxville is amazing. They are doing so much. They are doing so much to impact this city for the good of the kingdom. And so the conversations that I'm having with pastors, again, maybe one day I'll be able to share some of those with you. But man, they are always willing to step in and to help out. And I've just been really blown away at their leadership and their love for Hope Resource Center, but not just for Hope, but for the women that we serve. And so just know that. Know that there are good pastors, good local churches here in Knoxville that are loving this city and stepping out and doing things that frankly, in some areas, pastors may not be willing to do. But here, We've been blessed to have those conversations. And I do believe that the local church across the board is doing far more than anyone is willing to admit in the media or the news. And that's okay. We don't do it to get the credit. We do it because we've been called to do it and called to serve. And I'm just grateful for the partnerships that we have with the local church. We'll be talking more about that in the near future. Also, I sent an email out today to pastors about Sanctity of Life in January. I'm going to be on the road January, February, March, speaking at a ton of churches. If you are a pastor, if you are a pastor and you're listening, shoot me an email. I'd love to connect with you so we could talk about the sanctity of human life and partner with Hope during the months of January, February, and March. Andrew at Knoxville Hope would love to talk to you. Talk to you next week. Way to go.